On this episode of Sell TV, this is one you're going to want to share, and make sure that you stay tuned for why. Because look, let's say you have a set of symptoms that you're not happy with, right? Where's the cause coming from? Well, there's an inexpensive, accurate, reproducible test that you can get. And this test is, I discovered it when I was in Mexico at one of the top cancer clinics, and you may have seen that episode, Dr. Tony Jimenez, Hope for Cancer. Well, this was one of the devices that they were using to determine cancer. Well, let me just say this, 4 years before you actually may get a diagnosis, you can determine if you have a problem with this technology. That's why you're going to want to stay tuned for this show. And let me tell you something, wait till you see this, because we actually determined something about my wife that we would never have determined if it wasn't for this testing. So I'm very grateful that I came all the way to Cancun to discover this technology that's from Germany. But I'm also very grateful that I came to California to actually get this further assessed. So wait till you see this show, and you're going to want to share it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cellular Healing TV. I'm Ashley Smith. This episode welcomes Dr. Dan Bielan, who has been recognized for determining how to inexpensively and accurately screen for cancer with unique thermography technology from Germany. He's here to talk about how this test can offer a cancer diagnosis years before the conventional model would ever detect it. Dr. Pompa will also share Marilee's results from this amazing device. Practitioners, also please check out our show notes for a link so you can implement this incredible technology into your practice. This is an important episode, and we are grateful to be able to share this advanced, fine-tuned ability to screen for early cancer. And this form of thermography will indeed save many lives. So I'm happy to introduce Dr. Dan Bielan and, of course, Dr. Pompa. Welcome.
All right. I came to California to see your technology.
It's good to meet you.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice to meet you too, Dr. Dan. And,
We're both Dr. Dan.
We are. Exactly. Dr. Dan and Dr. Dan. So, I was introduced to this technology when I did, which most of them have seen already. I went to Mexico, and one of the top alternative cancer clinics in the world. And that's where I saw your technology.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated because at first I thought it was just standard thermography. And no, what I found was it's not standard thermography. So you're going to find that out here in a second why that is. But Dr. Dan, I do want you to talk about how you found this technology, because this goes far beyond thermography. But how did you find this? It's from Germany, I heard.
Yeah, well, originally I had left medical school at UC Davis because I didn't want to be brainwashed to only look at drugs to treat people. I'd had a number of negative things happen to me through my life with hospitals, and just wanted to do something that would really be healthy for the body instead of killing things and doing negative things to the body. Our bodies need nutrition, they need energy, they need force behind getting repair mechanisms going. And so I started going to Germany in around 1979. And I worked with the Queen's doctors in homeopathy, and then I started going to Germany. Now, Germany has had a very open relationship to complementary medicine, as 50% of their doctors practice some form of complementary medicine. And one of the major forces is Dr. Vohl, called EAV, electroacupuncture, after Dr. Vohl. He was actually a surgeon that would take electronic readings of your skin, of the acupuncture points, and before his surgeries, and go in and corroborate what he would find electronically with a galvanic galvanism of the points to what he would find pathologically with cancers and with tumors and with growths and with things that he found. So one of his colleagues came to me in my many trips to Germany and taking in their understanding of how you have to really treat the whole terrain of the body. You don't just kill diseases that are coming from other places. you have to build the terrain. And when you build the terrain, they're not vulnerable anymore. And so my colleague came to me and said, there's a thermographic method that uses sampling of projection zones from the organs. In other words, it's known in when you went through your chiropractic medical school, as well as in neurology, it's straight neurology, that there are zones like above the liver right here under the ribs that are controlled through the autonomic innervation or the nervous system innervation to a region of about 2 inches this way and 4 inches this way. And Dr. Schwamm from Germany was the first to start to take temperature measurements. First, he did it at a distance, and then they came up with a probe. This is like this. Now, I improved the probe. I had a patient come into my office and say, here's $500,000, realize your dream. And so I improved the old German method by making an infrared sensor that does not touch the skin, because the old one was touching the skin. As soon as you touch the skin, you change the temperature.
Right.
And so then we go around sampling these points before and after we administer just the stress from the room. So you take someone's clothes off, but before you do that, you take the first measurements. They take their clothes off, you quickly do a second test. I mean, you complete the first test first, and then you take a second test after they've been exposed to the room air.
Right.
That's enough to elicit a fight or flight reaction.
Right. It stresses the body. So, and I just watched him do my wife, which I will show you the report. So, yeah, you did her first readings. And what are there, 121 different points or something to that degree?
So, right. With women, we do the breast as well. So, it's a very accurate, comprehensive system. It's about 10 times more accurate than the infrared camera thermography, because we're using mathematics, we're using actual skin temperature denoted in an actual temperature like 34.1 degrees Celsius. And then we're using mathematical algorithms to find patterns that have been identified over the last 50 years. So we have about 60,000 patient database, and we're comparing the ideal response to people that have come in sick. And then we send them for other lab tests to corroborate what we find.
Yeah.
So in other words, if we find suspicion on the breast, we don't just go and do a biopsy. We send them for either mammography or for MRI when we're really concerned. And so this is called an adjunct diagnostic by the FDA. So it's cleared by FDA. It's cleared by CE. We're in 15 countries now and 170 devices.
Yeah. Well, that's why Dr. Tony uses it in his cancer clinic, obviously, because this shows years before there's a problem.
Well, it's been proven through infrared cameras and our method that we can see breast tumors in the terrain assessment. We can see the physiology going downhill well before there's an actual tumor that's discernible by an image up to 4 years in advance.
Yeah. And one of the things that actually interested me in it was because when the reason I had it done originally on Marilee was we were looking for a cavitation because she got cavitation surgery on her left and then she started getting this drainage. So I thought, I don't think the cavitation healed correctly. And actually the thermography actually showed that in fact it didn't. And matter of fact, not only that, as you'll see, she has a lot of blocked lymph because of the infection in her jaw, and it was affecting her breast as well. So it was even moving to the right side. So
I mean, never before has there been a rendering of physiological dynamics in a color image.
Yeah.
So we're actually looking at sort of a treadmill test for all the organ systems in portrayed in a colored image.
Yeah, so be clear, this is not regular thermography. I mean, you're stressing tissues like you're getting on a treadmill for, like you said, like you're checking your heart, right? You're stressing it. It's like a stress test, but we're stressing
and
organs.
We're actually, in this diagram on the right side, we're seeing these abnormal colors. It should be the light blue. That's health.
Yeah,
but
so
the abnormal yellow means inflammation, and the black means a blockage to the normal sympathetic control of those tissues.
So you can see some different things happening right there in the jaw, and then you can see what's happening down her lymphatic system in the neck, and then you can see some blockage right here near her breast. And matter of fact, there's a different page, show that, of the breast. So this is even more descriptive of what was happening here.
And this shows the factors that are going in to create the stress to the breast. So not only do you know that breast itself has a problem, but then you can say, okay, the breast problems are due to endocrine imbalances.
Right, it was lymphatic imbalances. Right.
Focal infections and other parts of the body getting into the lymph, eating this disarray, the brain.
Yeah. And her immune system was being affected by it, you know. And by the way, that's why we wanted the test done, because we knew that something in that cavitation was still not right.
You know, when you say we were to attack a country and that country was so disorganized that people just ran crazily through the streets and they couldn't get a defense mechanism up and running. Well, we can see how organized the response is in every area of the body. And here, this charting system with this device shows us that in this left area, which is the head region, that the curve actually goes up, which means that there's
stress
more
there.
Chaos.
Yeah.
There's more chaos.
Oh, there's more chaos in her head. Trust me on that. She's not here to defend herself.
Look in certain areas of the jaw and certain areas
upper
of the
jaw is high,
uh-huh.
Head, yeah, you said that, yeah.
So that there's different ways to look at the body, because, you know, when you go into the doctor, he might send a blood test, he might do a physical exam, he might get a history. So he's trying to get these different angles on things in order to put together a picture.
Right.
This gives you many different angles all at once in one test for the whole body.
You know, I mean, here, a doctor, let's say that she had another test. First of all, a mammogram might be another 4 years before it was even positive. Okay, so let's fast forward. She gets a mammogram and they say, okay, there's a problem there, right? And now they want to do standard treatments. Meanwhile, they never realized what was happening up here. What this test showed, there's a problem here, there's a problem here, it's not draining. So that's the thing of this looks at more causative factors, yeah. And projection of what could happen in the future.
And most cases of breast disease are called differential carcinoma in situ, where they find microcalcifications in the breast. It was deemed by Laura Esserman, who's chief of the breast division at UC San Francisco. She's a radiologist and a breast surgeon. She has said, DCIS is not cancer until the very latest stage, but most clinics will actually put clips in and they'll take biopsies and irritate the tissue so much that in a year or two, there's a cancer that develops.
I couldn't agree more.
So you're actually pushing the person towards a cancer that could have been reversed if you wouldn't have done anything. Right. You would have used a test like this to find out what are the causative elements, whether it's infections and also in Harvard, they're doing a new study that looks pretty promising, that behind some breast cancers is Epstein-Barr virus.
Oh, listen, we just did a show, episode 263. I interviewed Dr. Rafael Gonzalez, and that's one of his theories, is that we're seeing Epstein-Barr virus is a trigger for cancer, a trigger for many different conditions.
And we can see here in this raw data that we look at these two points right here and just below your inner canthus on both sides. If these are asymmetrical, that means they're differing temperatures by 1 degree or more. That's a virus sign. So mm-hmm. We can know, okay, we can send for blood tests, even though it's not definitive, but we can start her on lymphatic remedies, like bolstering her lymphatic and immune system specifically, which is also that. And we can get well on the road. Whereas normally, if she just complained of cavitation, she just goes to the dentist, clears this up, she still has this viral thing in the lymph.
Well, and it was even coming down into her breast, the blockage, though.
And she has a 53% block on the neck lymph, which is twice as high as it should be.
Yeah, and here's a couple other cases. Here's a multiple myeloma case. You could explain that one. So
yeah, this is actually a friend of mine who died in the hands of Kaiser, who overdosed him with chemo, so much chemo after they had underdosed him for 2 years. Then he developed kidney failure and died.
I mean, that's his scan. You might want to explain that. But
you can see.
How many years before that was this?
This was about 2 years before he died, and he had tumors in
to hold it up. Yeah.
He had tumors in these regions here. We've also done comparisons of PET scans, and
it's very obvious that there's a problem there.
So
and down here,
and as they treated him with chemo, we could see whether their chemo was effective. And then I would add in my remedies, and we can see exactly what's being done, because this is non-invasive, this is no radiation, painless, and it's a way to, and it's cleared by FDA as adjunct diagnostics.
And here was another breast. You can see the pathology here. Now this one, it looked like there was some intestinal stuff going on, obviously some lymph stuff happening.
Oh, this was actually a patient that was, she refused to take anything. So this patient came to me, and she said, well, the doctors have found this lump in my breast. I said, well, from our scan, it looks suspicious because you have 9 out of 13 criteria coming up, which means that I want you to go and possibly have the tumor removed, and then we'll work on you too. She says, you know what, I'm not going to do anything. And this shows her getting worse and worse through the years. She finally needed a mastectomy and some chemo. So we could have prevented all that with this 9 out of 13. Infrared camera methods, that are the fancy image that you see as a pretty picture, they only have 2 criteria for suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
So if I only know 2 things about you, how much am I going to know about you?
Not much.
If I know 13 things about you,
a lot.
I'm going to have a lot more in my armamentarium to say, okay, I think I'm more confident in my conclusion and with the decisions I'm going to make.
So how does how does standard medicine look at this? What would the scientists at Harvard say? I mean, they don't like regular thermography, but what about this technology?
Now, they've long thrown out infrared cameras, as well as FDA says. They'll never clear another infrared camera, but they cleared our device. And because it's mathematical, computations, and we're looking at signatures, it correlates to the whole future of radiology, which is computer-assisted diagnostics. It means using computers to help us to find things, because the radiologist's eyes are pretty good. The problem with radiology now is most of the decisions are made by residents that are inexperienced, and the supervisors, because they're so overwhelmed with so much to do and so many images, they're in black rooms for 15 hours a day, and they're new at this. And then the supervisors just come and sign them off. I think the latest statistic that one doctor radiologist told me that goes around hospitals to try to fix them is 50% accuracy of mammogram. It was 70% until they had these administrative problems.
Right.
So it depends where you go. It should be about 70 to 73%. Our system is about 83% accurate, but we're not looking at an image. We're looking at physiology. Physiology happens before pathology.
Yes.
In other words, if my chemistry is sick and I go in for a blood test, it might not show any abnormality, because the blood tests were designed only to see things at an end stage.
That's right.
And so how do you define how the body is going in the time before it has something positive?
With this test, you're assessing organ health. You're assessing general immune health. We talked a lot about cancer, but who else wants this test? What other conditions? Is it really
we have a Lyme disease signature. So Lyme is one of the greatest attacks on our civilization. Even in Asia, they don't even know that there's Lyme. And I go to Asia every few months, Philippines, Malaysia, Singapore and China, and they are having more and more Lyme disease. We see a certain signature of the brain points going colder instead of getting warmer.
Yeah, you know, and I saw that on here in the descriptions where it says, okay, you may have some type of infection. However, it looks more Lyme-induced, or it looks more viral, or it looks more fungus.
So we can distinguish between virus, bacteria, Lyme and Lyme co-related infections.
Or even fungus.
Gut dysbiosis, fungal from the gut. So we see, we have these patterns. I didn't make them up. These were, over the last 50 years, defined by MDs sitting in rooms in Europe and corroborating with their lab results that they got from normal lab.
And people have to understand the technology, and I don't want to get, you know, beyond this too much because people won't understand it, but I mean, every organ, you know, has, and we learn them, right? There are these neurological patterns and connections.
They're projections.
Projections, right. And it's defined, neurological, actually.
Well, there was a famous neurologist, Henry Head, that was his name. So they call these head zones.
Right.
Head zones.
So that's the areas that you're measuring. Show that other thing you have, because I want to show just how these points. So the points that they're measuring, these 120 points.
Well, this is the
points.
Actual computer that we use. It's a medical grade special computer. And so it guides the nurse to know where to do the next point.
So that's the head points, and then show the body points. So these are the points that correlate. So these are all the
body points
that are correlating with different organs,
so
different nerve meridians.
In men, there are 90 points. In women, there are 120 points, because we do the breast. There's no normal parameters that we've developed or that have been developed for the men with the breast. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different for men and women. But the whole test takes 20 minutes. It has the 5 minutes of the first measurement, 10-minute cool down. That's your stress response time. You come to a new level of homeostasis, the readings plateau, and then you do a second reading.
Right.
So the whole test takes 20 minutes.
And again, that's you're measuring how the body adapts or doesn't adapt, or I should say the tissues, how the tissues adapt.
It's really how the transmission of the tissues and organs are being conveyed through the nervous system. So the nervous system acts as a transmitter line of the information that's coming from the organs.
So it could be as simple as stating this. The tissues that aren't adapting, then that's a potentially diseased tissue.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
So, and that's what they're looking for, which adaptation's something that what is a state of health?
You can't underestimate.
A state of health is a body that finds homeostasis and adapts. A state of dishealth is a body that's not adapting.
I mean, it goes back to the classic Selye.
Absolutely.
Selye. All of his physiological studies of stress.
Yeah, so we're taking the whole principle of human. Healthy people adapt and have homeostasis, meaning balance. Unhealthy people don't. We're doing that with the tissue. This particular tissues aren't adapting.
And organs.
And organs, and therefore there's a problem there potentially.
And so, we have structural points, like for chiropractors, we have the mastoid process, which tells us about the upper spinal, and we have the sacroiliac, which tells us about the lower spinal as well.
Yeah.
But our company is about 6 years old. I founded it then.
This technology is far older than that, however.
Yeah, I mean, 25 years ago, came out with one of the later computerized versions, and that I took through FDA as well, so I've taken this through FDA twice. And I founded the company. It's called Alpha Thermodiagnostics. And the name of the machine is the Alpha Site 9000.
Yes.
And we're at www.alphathermo, A-L-F-A, like the Italian sports car, alphathermo.com.
Yeah, and that's important, because many of you right now are probably asking, well, where can I get the test?
I get the machine?
Or where can I get the machine? So many doctors out there watching, where can I get the machine? Those of you who say I want the test, you can go to the website.
We have leaders that have endorsed it. So Joe Mercola came out after he saw
Joe's an interview. A friend of ours. Yeah.
Yeah, he interviewed me. He got up in front of 300 doctors and said that everyone has to have this, which is true. And then we have Thomas Rau in Switzerland, who has a big hospital. He has two of these. He's running about 100 per month, about 100 tests per month. We have Dietrich Klinghardt, who's one of my old friends.
So is, you have a list of places where they can get this testing,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, if you go on the alphathermo.com, there's a map of
alphathermo.com.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, that's for you all. All right, and how much is the testing? I mean, what's typical?
Well, doctors usually charge.
I mean, different charges, I'm sure.
Yeah, but between $250, and it depends on their license. We have a radiologist doing it in Texas that charges about $650. But it's a revenue enhancer. Mm-hmm. You can do up to 8 tests a day, and if you're charging $250, you're paying for the machine.
But it's inexpensive. I mean, that's the best part about it, right? I mean, it's
about $17,000.
Yeah. It's, that's fantastic. So, okay. This is something that I would say, okay, great. You know, we're identifying these weaknesses, you know, et cetera. Every doctor is going to have different methods of, you know, what to do after the fact. But the key here, you know, what is the biggest benefit of this? Is it early detection, or is it knowing what were the causes?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Because if you have a known disease, say you have colitis, and you don't know, is that from long-term dysbiosis only? Is it from an infection in a tooth that slowly leaked down and created havoc in the gut? Mm-hmm. Is it from the lymph? Where is it originally from? Because if we just keep chasing after diseases in the particular organs they express themselves in, we very well might be never catching up to it, and it's going to reproduce itself.
Then let me ask you this. What, you know, for example, my wife, you know, so, okay, now we're going to get this done, right? We're going to get some.
Well, she needed lymphatic.
Absolutely.
That, which you wouldn't have known if she would have just had the dental work.
Absolutely. So, and then we follow up in how long? Like, when do you typically recommend follow up?
With her, I would do a month to 6 weeks.
Okay. All right.
And with patients that are fairly healthy, we do about every 4 months.
Yeah.
But in cancer patients, we will do once a month.
Okay.
Now, because we need to see what we're doing.
Yeah.
And if
what's working and what's not.
If I'm choosing a good liver remedy that works on most of my patients, but not on this one, I'll be able to see it.
One of the things I always ask, right, because I'm always very skeptical about machine diagnostics, et cetera, is the reproducibility. Meaning, if we did the test on my wife and then, you know, half hour later we did it again, what would the result be?
So we've done many studies, mostly the Germans did the studies with doing this test every day. You shouldn't do it right after you've done one because the person has already exhibited their adrenal reserves into the response. So they've used up some. So you do it the next day at around the same time. And it's completely reproducible. We have patients that we do every year, and we can see their general personality. It's kind of like a fingerprint.
Yeah.
So every patient you get, when you see a patient, you have this fingerprint character of the patient. And you know how to look at them.
So if they have a new pathology or stress, you're going to see it.
And then you start to ask them questions based upon your result. They say, well, how do you know that I get up at night to urinate all the time? I didn't tell you that. Or how do you know that you have that I have this one kidney infection, you know, because I don't tell anybody about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happens daily.
Yeah. So what are some of the, you know, really, I don't want to say cool things that you've seen, but shocking things, I don't know.
I can tell you a shocking thing. We have a patient who's treating out of a clinic in Malaysia who's doing some advanced immunology, and they're treating a Hodgkin's case of cancer, Hodgkin's lymphoma, and they get successive PET scans. So we can actually, in countries like that, you can actually order more stuff, they're more open to do whatever you want as doctors. So we order successive PET scans, and we saw that as she got better, the PET scans became negative. On our tests, we could see remnants of the old infections in the lymph from the Hodgkin's that they now were saying were clear. So we can know to keep treating the patient in the same way and what the timing should be, whether there's true resolution.
Yes.
Because if we can see physiology, we can see, hey, this person's going to get a recurrence in 6 months. And you're telling them that they're clear.
Yeah.
So this is a way that we can say, no, we still see that there's an infection. We can see the teeth. Mm-hmm. We can see. So it's an incredible view. And we've compared it to successive PET scans. And we see the same patterning of what the PET hot cells show with our thermographic method.
For me, you know, just as a person who wants to stay healthy and, you know, I get it, right? It's like we have to be ahead of things, right? We're at least 4 years ahead of a disease process by...
With the breast. That's
with the breast. Okay, but I maybe more, I mean, maybe the same with some of the other organs.
With prostate.
Yeah. So it's something I feel, you know, why wouldn't you want to get this technology done? You know, it's affordable. It's accurate. It's reproducible.
I'm a scientist at heart, so I was a research physiologist in gastroenterology and neurology. So I did some of the original stroke research, actually, at UC Davis with neurosurgeons, and we were creating strokes, and then we were putting dogs down with barbiturates, which is the way that you induce a semi-coma, which it reestablishes the circulation to the areas of the brain which would normally die from a stroke. So we were the first to actually determine that if you put someone into a near coma state for a period of days or hours, then you can help the blood vessels of the brain to regrow and establish collateral circulation. So I come from a science background, and I want everything I do science-based.
I can tell that about you, no doubt. You know, my whole thing is I come from that place of, you know, we want to look for cause. Right? It's like, in other words, and that's what this does, right? You're looking for cause. You know, okay, great.
What a concept, huh?
Yeah, right? It's like you have a set of symptoms. Okay, great. So what? But this is showing where some of the pathologies are, the causative factors.
I don't know what they do at hospitals.
They're chasing the symptom. I mean, meaning that, you have a lump in your breast now? Let's take that out.
Medicine was designed, this so-called modern medicine of our country, at least, to keep people from dying.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good at that.
Well, you know, it's so true. But this is great technology. I hope most people will make sure folks in the notes will have the links.
Well, it's alpha, but don't forget you spell it like the Italian sports car, alphathermo.com. My name is Dr. Dan Beilin. That's Beilin. So I'm Dr. Beilin at alphathermo.com.
Here in California?
Yeah. Northern California.
Came a long way to see the technology. Actually, I came a longer way the first time. I actually went all the way to Cancun.
Yeah.
But that was one of the – we have a three-part series that we did on things that they're doing in Mexico, treatments that people need to know about, right?
Well, Asia is coming up.
I'll be heading there.
We have Malaysia as one of the leaders. Yeah. Philippines with Dr. Tan Che, if you know her, she's starting to work with Tony, which is a friend of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Her mother died of cancer, and so she decided to make one of the leading cancer centers in Manila. So she's almost up and running. And then Taiwan, they're developing one in Taiwan. I mean, the Chinese are giving billions of dollars into the development of alternative medicine.
Well, folks, I'll be going there. And you're going to point me in some great directions of, like, they have to hear about this treatment, you know, or this testing device. No, it was great. So, yeah, we saw this technology when I was there. And I said, my gosh, I've got to do a whole show just on that, you know, so... Awesome. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. We appreciate it. I'm going to get tested now.
Yeah,
so, all right, folks. See you on the next one.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, which was brought to you by Fastonic Molecular Hydrogen. Please check it out at getfastonic.com. We'll be back next week and every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern.
We truly appreciate your support. You can always find us at cellularhealing.tv, and please remember to spread the love by liking, subscribing, giving an iTunes review, or sharing the show with anyone who may benefit from the information heard here. And as always, thanks for listening.